The U.S. may be the only remaining superpower, but even poor countries such as Afghanistan can claim one good defense against the high-tech munitions of the American military. That defense is the shovel. Dig a bunker 50 feet inside a mountain, and artillery blasts won't crack a teacup. Last month, the Pentagon disclosed that it is again studying an old solution to this problem, building penetrating missiles. The warheads on those missiles would be nuclear, and that's a word that makes any debate complicated. NPR's David Kestenbaum reports.
When General William Odom was in the military back in the 1950s, he was trained to use nuclear weapons in the battlefield against soldiers and tanks. They were too messy to be very useful, he says. But today, he can see how nukes might come in handy.
Command and control bunkers in a number of capitals in the world have been put down several hundreds of feet underground. At present, we don't have a way to break those.
Theoretically, you could use a big, city-crushing nuclear weapon to do that, but that's overkill. Odom, who is now a senior fellow at the Hudson Institute, says why not retool the arsenal to match a more realistic threat?
If you could have a penetrator that went down at least part of the way, and then had the kind of yield that a small nuclear weapon could provide, that could shake the rock formations and destroy the bunker.
Pound for pound, nuclear material is about 100,000 times more powerful than TNT. A recent government report concluded that military forces have dug more than 10,000 underground hiding places around the world.
Another example might be the tunneling along the north side of the demilitarized zone in North Korea, where the North Korean military for years and years has been tunneling to hide their artillery, to hide all sorts of command and control facilities. Those are very extensive, and it would take more than one or two or three or a dozen or so penetrators to begin to clean that fortification out.
The U.S. already has a nuclear penetrator called the B-6111, introduced during the Clinton administration for just such an occasion. It's long and thin, with a nuclear explosive the size of a bucket on the back. But it hasn't fared so well in tests. An unarmed version was dropped onto frozen ground in Alaska. It went no deeper than 10 feet. That fact has Rob Nelson worried. He's a physicist at Princeton. Nelson says that if the weapon doesn't go deep enough, the explosion will simply launch a cloud of radioactive earth and debris into the air.
Although these are smaller nuclear weapons than are typically in our stockpile now, you're still talking about killing tens of thousands of people if you used one of these things in an urban environment.
So how deep can a missile go? In a paper to be published in the Journal of Science and Global Security, Nelson runs through the math. A missile that moves faster will penetrate more Earth, but even the strongest metals will crumble on impact past a certain speed. The only other way to burrow deeper is to make the missile longer.
In principle, you could build a missile that was 100 feet long if you could find a way to deliver it, and it might be able to drill 300 feet into the ground. But then, of course, you're left with this long tunnel that you've produced, and the nuclear fission products, the hot plasma, will still be able to escape through that cavity or tunnel.
That's the kind of problem confronting designers at the weapons labs now. Raymond Jeanlot says researching the problem, at least, is not a bad idea. Jeanlot is a geophysicist at the University of California, Berkeley, who also advises the government on nuclear issues. He says the physicists who built the current stockpile are retiring, and the labs need to find good replacements.
The worst-case scenario is really to have a bunch of dummies in charge of the nuclear weapons. We want to make sure that the people who need to maintain those weapons are technically at the forefront of the science and engineering that's involved.
So far, the military is only looking to modify existing warheads. For the most part, the weapons labs are looking at using big nuclear explosives, tens of times more powerful than the bomb dropped on Hiroshima. Some military analysts say that guarantees the weapons will be too terrible to be used. They will simply sit in the arsenal as a deterrent. Opponents, however, contend that even studying new weapons is a slippery slope, that eventually the bunker buster problem will be used to justify testing a new generation of miniature nuclear weapons called mini-nukes, which could set off another arms race. General Odom, for one, is not worried about that. He says small nuclear weapons would be less dangerous for the very reason that they are smaller, and the fallout would be greatly reduced if they were detonated underground.
I'm not sure why people keep worrying about this. It may be a lack of understanding about these things. I think the hysteria against nuclear weapons and so many public campaigns against nuclear weapons all during the Cold War actually raised the level of nuclear illiteracy a great deal in the U.S., and that if people knew more about them, knew more about blast heat and radiation and effects and what one can do to mitigate them, some of that would go down, and there wouldn't be a lot of excitement about small nuclear weapons right now.
Other weapons experts argued that hysteria is useful, that the scariness of nuclear weapons, the mental image of the giant mushroom cloud, is important. If nuclear weapons are seen as practical munitions, they argue, it destroys their mystique and the idea that they should be used only as a weapon of last resort. David Kestenbaum, NPR News, Washington.